As we prepare to hear the words of Scripture for us today from Luke's Gospel, I would invite you to stand with me in body or in spirit. Hear these words for us this day from Luke chapter 8. When they arrived at the country of Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee, as Jesus stepped out on land, a man of the city with demons met him. For a long time he wore no clothes, and he did not live in a house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you not to torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with shackles and chains. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go into the abyss. Now there was on the hillside a large herd of swine. It was feeding. And the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these, so he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine. And the herd rushed off the steep bank into the lake, and it was drowned. When the swineherdsmen saw what had happened, they ran off into the city of the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with fear. So he got into the boat and returned. And the man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with Jesus, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us today, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words, for the healing, for the teachings of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, O God, in these moments that we share together, give us a sense of peace and rest. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our Redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Ever since that afternoon, about 1:43, I think, when the call came on Ash Wednesday afternoon, David Cabinet met today, and we'd like to talk to you about another appointment. I've wondered, what do you last say to a congregation? What's your last sermon? What do I want you to know and to remember?
Thank you for the love that you've shown Leanna, Andrew, Abigail, and me. You always have a special place in our hearts, as our lives have been intertwined with you, as you've been a part of our lives for these past 6 years. You will never be forgotten. I also want you to remember that God loves you. God loves you. God also loves the person sitting on your left, the person sitting on your right, the person in front of you and behind you, and you can't do a thing about it. And you know what? God also loves the person that you're going to meet later on today, or you're going to rub shoulders with, bump elbows with in a store, that coworker that you don't like, that person that you can't stand. God even loves them, and there's nothing you can do about it. Ha! There's a wonderful story in 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19. Go read that this afternoon. But it's a story of Elijah. It's a story of the Israelite nation. It's a story of a drought. It's a story of the unfaithfulness of the Jewish people. They're in that tension between worshiping Yahweh, the one God, and the Baal worshipers that have been plaguing them for generations. And so Elijah finally calls for a showdown between the 450 prophets of Baal and Elijah Yahweh. And so the place is planned, the altars are built, the two bulls are brought in, and the Baal prophets pick theirs first. It's slaughtered, cut into pieces, placed upon the altar, and the challenge is to see whose God will set it on fire. Elijah waits. They, the 450, they pray, they dance, they start cutting themselves, releasing of blood as a sacrifice. Elijah waits. And then he starts. Well, maybe your God's on vacation. Maybe your God's sleeping. Maybe your God just doesn't want to deal with you today. Maybe your God is turned aside. Parentheses, they should put, he's in the John. He's busy. And finally, Elijah says, all right, that's enough. He slaughters his bull, it's cut into pieces, it's put upon the wood for the altar, and then he does an interesting thing. They're in, I think it's a 7-year drought, and he takes vessels of water and pours upon the altar. Now, some people in the past have said, oh, that's to make the wood wet so it's harder to light. There's been a drought for 7 years. That water is precious. And it is a sacrifice. It is a gift to Almighty God. And Elijah prays and woof, everything is gone and consumed and the water is lapped up and Elijah has a wonderful victory and the 450 prophets are slain. He alone has been triumphant. The king is married to Jezebel. Don't ever name a daughter Jezebel. Jezebel is upset and she says through a messenger to Elijah, so may it be to me by tomorrow evening if I don't do so to you. A death threat. Now Elijah, as a man of God and a prophet of God, has just had this incredible victory. And he runs scared to death with his tail between his legs.
Did you ever have that happen? Go from that high moment of incredible faith, and then something minuscule happens and you just come crashing down. God follows Elijah. Eventually he's found in a cave. And God says, get ready, Elijah. I'm coming to see you. There's a violent wind. God's not there. There's a huge burning fire. God is not there. There's an incredible earthquake as the mountain shook, and God was not there. And then, depending on the interpretation, the translation, some of them say, in the sheer silence, in the gentle whisper, that's where God was. So in those moments, remember that God is in the sheer silence. Those gentle, quiet moments is when God can and will speak to you and to me. God also came in that small, quiet, well, maybe not quite so quiet manger, that stall on Christmas Eve, came in that little baby, that child of Bethlehem of Jesus Christ. Born in a poor stable, humbly born, the one who became the servant to the world. One of my favorite stories, as Chris mentioned, One Solitary Life, says this. He was born in an obscure village. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. They couldn't get rid of him. Then he became an itinerant preacher. Must have been written by a United Methodist. He never held an office, never had a family or owned a home. He didn't go away to college. He had no credentials but himself. 19 centuries, 20 centuries have come and gone, and today he remains the central figure of the human race. For all the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever set sail, all the parliaments that have ever sat, all the kings and queens that have ever reigned on this earth have not affected the life of people on this earth as much as that one solitary life. And this one solitary life, my friends, calls and challenges each and every one of us on a daily basis to pick up our crosses and to follow him, to make his teachings come alive, to go where others will not, to say the loving words that need to be said, to offer Christ, to offer compassion and food and clothing and shelter, to be the church at work, to be the church at work every single moment of every day. Today's scripture is kind of an interesting one. I usually follow the lectionary, and that's the reading for today. And I'm thinking, wow, what an odd one to end on of this situation going on. A healing of this man possessed by demons. And yet when he meets Christ, his life is changed. He meets that one solitary life, and he becomes the whole and complete person that Christ wants him to be. You notice the ending. He wants to travel with Jesus and the disciples. I want to journey with you. And Jesus says, no. He says, return to your home.
and declare how much God has done for you. And so he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. As you go home and live out your daily lives, proclaiming all that the three in one have done for you, also remember Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Know in all these things, in all of life, we are more than conquerors through Jesus who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor heights nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord. May the peace of Christ be with you now and forever. Amen. Gracious and loving God, you call us by name. You love us. You offer to us your grace and your forgiveness. And you send us forth to our homes to celebrate life and to share the good news of how much God has done for each of us through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. May we be faithful as we go. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.